Next, Kina, Kina 36, on and above. I want to start with a quick story that happened just yesterday. I was, my wife, as I spoke about earlier, the sensitivity of the women. So my wife, who was responsible for my family preparing for the fast, getting ready all the food and everything that goes and is involved in that, my job was just to show up and eat it later on. And my wife is panic-stricken yesterday morning. What's going on? I ask her. She can't find her glasses. She put them down somewhere. She can't find them. She can't see. She's running around looking for them. She's sure where they think they are, but they're not there. So naturally, as the husband, my job is to support her in this time of need. Not to argue, but to be sensitive and empathetic. So I go up to look where she said she left them, and they were not there. She's sure they're in this area. And for about 10 minutes, literally, we went through all the drawers. Maybe she put it in the drawer, got clothes, something on top of it. Eventually, I went a different route and assumed it was somewhere she didn't think it was. And it was sitting right on the kitchen counter, where she had put it, obviously. Now, her desperation was because she couldn't see. How is she going to make all the food? How is she going to prepare for us? How is she going to make sure that we're ready to go into the fast properly? And she knew she didn't have her glasses and she couldn't see well without them. Imagine if you also couldn't find your glasses, but you didn't know they were missing. You walk around all the time and you don't even know that you can't see well. You drive a car. You need prescription, but you don't think that you do, so you drive around. People get older sometimes. It's the most dangerous thing in the world to drive around a car not knowing you can't really see well. In reality, this is much of our lives. We're running around, our perspective is off. When someone realizes they don't have their glasses on, they can look for them. They can be panicked and nervous about it. But the tragedy of a person doesn't realize that he can't see clearly, and he's putting all the ingredients, not knowing even salt or sugar, and he's turning at different street signs, not reading them properly. That's where the greatest destruction actually comes in, and that's really most of us. In Kina number 36, we move over to a different concept. We start talking about tzion. Now tzion itself, the word tzion actually means, besides Zion, if you look at the English word, it also means like a signpost or a target. Things that are directing us. Tzion is there to be a direction. You're supposed to take a right over here. It's a signpost. Take a left over here. This is how you get to that location. We start to look at not as much of the destruction, but more of what was there. Because after all, how can you really mourn something if it wasn't so special after all? We get our glasses on first to really see what was going on back in the day. So now if we compare it to us today, to realize what's lost and what we're missing, will give us hopefully the chizuk we need the next number of hours of this day to do our job properly. So this kina is actually written by Yehuda Halevi, the author of many beautiful works, including the Chuzari, he's most famous for. He lived in Muslim Spain. And he actually was a very well-respected person in the government. He was one of the ministers over there, but he constantly longed to get to Eretz Yisrael, constantly. Maybe the most of anyone in this time period, he wrote about it, describing what it would be like. And the story of what happened in the end is actually legend. No one knows fully what happened to him, but I'll get to it as we go through a little bit of the kina together. In the very first paragraph, we ask Hashem, we ask Yerushalayim, Tzion, do you think of us like we think of you? Rav points out that Tzion, do you worry about the well-being of your prisoners? Now, we shouldn't be Tzion's prisoners, we're actually taken from Tzion. We're someone else's prisoners, maybe we're Rome's prisoners. We're any number of different people who came over and took us over. We're not really Tzion's prisoners. Rav explained that we are Tzion's captives. Because even while we are wherever we are in the world, we're constantly looking back to Tzion. We can't escape. We can't escape the feeling of wanting to be back in Eretz Yisrael. Those of you who came here for the summer, whether you're first or over a number of summers, we can't escape the wanting to get back. We are captives of Seal in a beautiful way, constantly thinking about how do I get back here. It says in the first paragraph as well, just to read another line or two, we want to shed tears. I want to shed tears on your mountain. I want to shed tears in your land. You go to Eretz Israel, it's not all easy. It's not. Nigiz B, sir, we heard a number of different people discussing today of tragedies that happened very recently. You don't get to Eretz Israel and everything is now smooth and clean. It's actually challenging. But it's okay. I will shed tears. I'd rather be challenged and shed tears here in this land than live comfortably wherever I am otherwise. The second paragraph. We speak about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want Hashem, B'chor Hashem, Levad Ha'anorich. Hashem, I want it to be that your honor is my light. I don't need a Shemesh, Ein Shemesh, Basar, Kochavim, Mirayach. I don't need a moon or a sun or stars to give me light. I want to be fully invested in you. When we go into the world, we have a challenge. Our first gut is usually not to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not feeling so well. I go to the doctor. Something is missing. I start searching for it. Maybe the first reaction of Hashem should be, I should say a parak of Tehillim and then go to the doctor. Say a parak of Tehillim and then look for my wife's glasses. Yudal Levi described that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is a place when you are the light. I don't need the light of the sun or the light of the moon. You are the light. We describe the very end of that paragraph. It's like the paragraph, Mias Eli Kanafayim Barachik Ndod Anid Livisrael Ravi Bein Bisarayach. Something that Rabbi Berg spoke about a few minutes ago only. The word Bisrei, Brish Bein Abisar, means ruptured, torn apart. Our heart is ruptured, but so is yours. So are your halls, your hills are ruptured as well. I recognize that I'm a half, and you're also only a half right now without us. Recognizing that, though as broken as we might be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also broken. The third paragraph. Epola pai alei artseich. The beautiful lady over here is giving an unbelievable hope that he will fall to the ground. He will fall with his face on the ground to see the land, to see the avanayah, the stones, to see the afar, the dirt. Legend, I mentioned before, Yudah Halevi, what happened to him in the end was a big machlokas, but one opinion is that he actually came, as he was hoping to do his whole entire life, he came and he landed, came to the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, he bent down to kiss the dirt as he promised he would. At that moment, he was killed by passing someone on a horse who killed him, he trampled over him. But you see over here his words of wishing for the day when he could be on the ground. If you notice over here, it says the land, and then the stones, and then the dirt. I mentioned I started off with perspective. I'll tell you a quick story. A number of years ago, I was over to go to Poland with my yeshiva, and it was the tour guide. I don't want to spoil it if anyone does at any point in time, but the tour guide told us all on the way out of Auschwitz-Birkenau to grab a stone. Take a stone with you. So whatever's going on in your life, no matter how much trouble you feel, how frustrated you might be, look at this stone, and this will give you a level of peace. It's not that bad. Whatever's going on, it's not that bad. So I have a Talmud I'm very close with to this day still, and he found the most unbelievable stone. It was white, smooth. He was so proud of this stone. He was like showing it off on the bus that day. What a stone I brought. Oh, my not angry stone. Now you're angry because the stone is so sweet, so beautiful. Okay. Next day, we're loading the buses, and his stone goes missing. He's running around thinking, where's my stone? Who has my stone? So I said to him, I want to say his real name. I said, Alex. I said, this is your not angry stone. You're getting angry over your not angry stone. The whole point of this is not to get upset with things, and now this is the cause of your getting upset. Our glasses are off. We're missing our perspective. But the truth is, if you look at the words over here, in this line it is quoted, the stone and the dirt, was wishing to be dirty with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. When you come by, we trip on a, we get our suit dirty on Shabbos with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Ugh, and we brush it out, and we shouldn't on Shabbos, of course. But we're frustrated with the dirt. What people wouldn't give to be dirty with the land of Eretz Yisrael. The schus of being dirty, of falling down in Eretz Yisrael. Of spraining your ankle on a rock in Eretz Yisrael. Not that we want that. That's what he was davening for, Rabbi Levi. Just to close up, in the fourth paragraph, it says, Yin'am l'nafshi, a very bizarre line. If only I would be so happy. Haloch arom v'yachef aleich arvos shmamah. I would be so happy if I could walk without shoes, barefoot, and with no clothes. In the area of Eretz Yisrael. What's the shot? Clothes and shoes buffer what's around us. I wear shoes, I don't feel the pain of the ground. I wear clothes, it protects me from the outside. I want to be fully open to the pain. Vulnerable, as I said earlier. I want to be vulnerable to what's around me. I'll be so ready for that in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu when he saw him at the burning bush, take your shoes off. Rav Hirsch brings down, explains, because if you're going to be a leader, then you have to feel pain. The stone, the little pebble under your foot right now without a shoe is painful. You can't ignore it. You have to feel the pain. To feel pain around each other, with each other, as a family. That's a pain we're willing to feel together. Better to be in pain with our brothers than alone in prosperity. That's the tefillah of Yehuda Levi. Finally, the last paragraph of Kina Lam Nevav, which we'll be saying in a minute. I'll read the English part. Your God has preferred you as an abode and the happiest of the man who will choose to draw near and dwell in your courtyards. Hashem wants us to be here with him. Happy is he who waits in the privilege to witness the rising of your light upon who your dawn will break. For us to get here before it actually starts, to be here as it's going to be happening, to stay here for the being on the four parts so we can watch the rise, and then finally to witness the success of your chosen ones, to delight in your joy when you return to your past youth. These next keynotes discuss our past youth. This is not, we're not taking a shot in the dark at something. We have a history that we know about, a glorious history, here, in this land. And we're back, we say Tzion, in this Kina, Kina Lam and Vav, and we recite this idea, this concept for the next 10 kinos, to revert back to a place of our glorious history. Hopefully we'll merit to be part of it. Kina Lam and Vav, Tzion, Halot Yisholi.